Okay, let's please stand.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There was no action taken in closed session. Our student representative to the Board of Trustees would be next. I think maybe we should, there's a presentation that we should make. Should we do that early or wait for our, we'll let you do the report.
Spring concert is also tomorrow at 7 p.m. in the gym, and it's free. The yearbook distribution party is on May 29th from 3:15 through 4:30 p.m. in the cafeteria. The final for the underclassmen are June 2nd through June 4th, and they are also minimum days. The senior field day is on June 3rd. The graduation is on June 4th. At 7 p.m. in the Dean Miller Stadium, and the last day of school exit rally is on June 5th. Marysville High School Board Report, May 2nd. At long last, Marysville High School has brought together yet another fantastic prom, tying in the theme of Enchanted Forest with the candy bar pictures, beautiful, delicate decorations, and a safe and entertaining atmosphere. Everything went spectacular. May 8th, the leadership class tied another new idea in the form of picnic day. All the students were encouraged to bring homemade lunches and engage in the games. There were donated baked goods by Save Mart in Marysville as well. It was a success and may yet become the next Marysville tradition. May 14th, the third blood drive of the year had great results. Over 130 students signed up, over 115 showed up, and over 85 were able to give blood. The coordinators were very impressed, and improvements are being amplified to bring up those numbers even more. May 15, the iTrainers, the school transition program for incoming freshmen, received a hearty and pleasant welcome from McKinney Middle School and Loma Rica Middle School. The class of 2019 is amped to enter Marysville High School and its outstanding environment. May 16, the Key Club kept up in its community involvement with the annual fishing derby. The club registered young fishers, fun through games and carnivals, weighted fish, distributed prizes, and made cotton candy for the young of the Marysville community. May 18th, as the year comes to a close, clubs like Interact and AP are already electing officers to start a strong and powerful year after summer break. May 21st, the purpose of Top Notch is to recognize students who are not normally recognized for their achievement, big or small. In celebration of this wonderful program, every staff member was given two booklets to give to students and invited to the Top Notch social. There was an ice cream bar and everybody enjoyed their time. May 26th, a proper ending to the year is not always in the form of a final or a sad well farewell, but in an induction meeting to introduce the new leaders to Marysville. A very strong and capable group of young student leaders will be inducted at the induction meeting. Along with pizza, there will be food for thought and a new outlook on MHS. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to turn this over to Dr. Todd.
Thank you. Tonight is our last meeting with Australia. So thank you so very much for being here all this last semester. And so to help you remember your time sitting here with the board, we have a plaque, and I'm going to read it to the group. It says, thank you for your outstanding service to the Marysville Joint Unified School District Board of Trustees, serving as a student representative for the second semester of the 2014-15 school year. Your willingness to attend the board meetings to update the Board of Trustees on activities at the various school sites is greatly appreciated. Thank you, and I want to wish you the best of luck in all your future endeavors. Thank you for being here.
It's been wonderful to have you here and represent your school so well. Next, we have our presentations, attendance and discipline. Jolie Carrion.
Raul, okay, good. I told him to make sure he makes me sound really, really great in this microphone. Just so you don't panic, I'm not going to read every slide, and so I will stick within my 30-minute presentation. No, I'm joking, 10. Anyway, yeah. But anyway, since we're in the business of educating children, I think our priority probably is to get those students that are not at school, in school, so that we can give them a brighter future and hope. So I just thought I would give you kind of a definition of our truancy and what's happening in Marysville Joint Unified School District when we're dealing with students that are not attending school. So by CDE, it's defined as 3 inexcused absences or more. That's how they get the truancy rate. So our rate last year was 17%. The state average was 31%. So you can have a student with 20 excused absences and they would not be considered truant. So it's kind of false, you know, information in my opinion. So the way we define truancy is 9 unexcused absences or more, and the parent must be cited into SARB. And we have currently 251 students that are on SARB contracts who are considered habitually truant. And these are the people that sit on our student attendance review board. I also gave you a copy of this, too, for your files to go home and read tonight. But one of the newest members is Eric Runge from Child Protective Services, so that was a great addition to our board. And the services that SARB provides when we're there is lots of referrals to different things, and we try to get the situation under control right then and there. If that means calling a school, setting up transportation, getting tutoring classes, assigning them to Saturday school, then that's what we do. So I'm just going to give you a couple stories. This is Amy's story, and I didn't use, obviously, the actual name of the student. And so the parent was in SARB for her 9th grade daughter who was not attending school, and sitting there was a little girl, and Amy, and she was 6, almost 7 in March, and she had never been to school. So after finding out that she needed to get her shots and get her enrolled in school, we had to make several phone calls to find out what school was open, and then we had to call transportation, Dawn and transportation, to get transportation for her immediately. Since she didn't have any school clothes or stable housing and didn't qualify for the homeless grant, Rob Greger, who works at Ella School, that was his kid who was actually going to be able to go there, but they didn't have room. He gave us some Walmart cards, and Bobby and I went shopping and got her school clothes so she could start with school clothes. She attended 78 days out of 180 days of kindergarten last year. Because she missed so much school, her contract was violated and it went before Judge Givens. She ordered Amy's mom to get her enrolled at her school of residence for this school year, which was Ella, and they continued the case to determine whether the parent would pay the fine or not. So she was enrolled at first grade at Ella, and she was present the first day of school. Since we review SARB cases monthly, she had already missed 10 days of school by October. So we did a home visit and found that the mom was evicted from her home and now had moved close to Johnson Park's attendance area, but she didn't want to send her child to Johnson. She wanted to keep her child at Ella because she had built a relationship with her teacher. So we called transportation. They already had a bus going that way, and so thank you, transportation. They're always so great. We set Amy up for transportation so she could remain at Ella's school. So she has not missed a day of school since transportation was set up, and her parent actually moved back to Ella School residence, so she's in there, and the fine was waived, so she didn't have to pay the fine. Amy has a younger brother that's going to start kindergarten next year, so we made sure that she already has attendance papers and all the things that she needs to do for her to get him rolled. So that's that. Oops. Okay. So, that's the end. What happened there? Did I go through too many? Okay, so I'm sorry. Okay, sorry, I don't know what happened. You guys have the, okay. How come it's not going to it? Sorry, you guys. You're like, you're over 10 minutes. So Becca is a student that we, while doing home visits, we saw the mom walking down by Burger King, and she had a little child with her, and she also was not enrolled in school, and she was dressed in clothing that was too big and shoes that wouldn't stay on her feet. We took her over to Ella's school because her school of residence, Cedar Lane, was full, and mom said they were full, so she didn't get them enrolled at the beginning of the school year, but she didn't follow through with enrollment at another school site. So we transported her to Ella, filled out the enrollment paperwork, and we got transportation to take her to school every day. Since they were living in the local motel, she was able to get homeless supplies. She qualified for the homeless grant, and Bobby drove the new shoes and clothing out to the hotel so Becca would have something to wear for her first day of school in October. Since she's been enrolled at Ella's school 122 days, she's only missed five for being ill. She loves school. She's doing well. Mom was also mandated to go before Judge Givens for her other daughters, and instead of paying the fine, she's been ordered to go to parent project classes, which she's been going to every week and doing really well. So one more case study, just to let you guys know, this is just constant throughout the day that we're dealing with this. School site principals are doing home visits. We're trying to get the needs met of our kids to get them in school. And here's two more kids that were put on a SARB contract 2 years ago. They both have been out for chronic lice. We've given them medication, clothing, food, all kinds of stuff. We've done over 20 home visits through the truancy and myself. Multiple CPS reports were done as well. The teacher would email me on a regular basis saying they're not home, they're not at school today, even though they lived around the corner. So during one home visit in November, the parents would not respond, but there were children's voices coming to the home. So we called the sheriff's department. We have a great relationship. Ben Martin went out and found that children were hiding there with the dad. CPS was called as there was only ketchup in the refrigerator for our kids. And CPS came out, and the children are now in foster care. His mom and dad are working on their drug addiction right now, and I hope that they get help. So their story's not unusual. It takes a lot of us working together to get these kids and to stay in school. We have 138 students that are habitually truant in just kindergarten through fifth grade. We have 50 habitually truant teens in grades 6 through 8 and another 63 in 9 through 12. So it's just important that we get there. But once we get them there, the kids need to feel safe and successful, and they need to have at least one caring adult that they can find connection. And so I appreciate us bringing back, you know, the sports and the music and all those type of things, because sometimes reading and math isn't what gets them connected to school. It's those other activities that can connect them and that they can feel successful. So how do we provide a safe and conducive learning environment for our students? Positive behavior interventions and supports, which is it's a research-based studies that, if implemented with fidelity, 80% of the students respond to Tier 1. Danae Dennis is our district coach. Yay, Danae. It's a system, not a program, and you guys kind of heard a little bit about it. It establishes clear sets of rules, and we kind of reward kids for doing the right thing, and hopefully eventually they learn to do the right thing. Marysville High School is actually a star school that they train others. High schools from districts come over to see what they're doing there because they've done such an amazing job. Tier 2 provides interventions for kids. And some people ask us, why do we have to teach our students how to behave? Shouldn't they know? School and home is very different to our students. It's completely different, and we can't assume that our students know our expectations, just like we can't assume our boss's expectation of us if we don't know. So being praised for doing well, working hard, is motivating for most humans, and that's what PBIS does. So these are the schools in Marysville Joint that have PBIS implemented right now. And these are the stats that show you that elementary, red is this year, blue is last year. You can see the out-of-school suspensions have decreased. And the in-school suspensions have also decreased with the PBIS schools. And we have 9 more schools that will be implementing PBIS next school year, which I'm really excited about. So anyway, that's the end of my presentation, and I did it in 10 minutes, exactly, even with a flub up. So are there any questions or comments? And I gave you your own color PowerPoint, thanks to Bobby Vardell, who said you needed to have color. So if you want to go over it and if you have any questions, you can always call me too. And as you know, Bobby's leaving me after 11 years. So she got the promotion in the personnel office, and she'll do awesome. I'm very proud of her. But we won't be a team anymore. So I'm sad. So I'm going to be interviewing on Friday for my new secretary. Are there any questions?
I just have a comment. I've heard a lot about how positive you are dealing with such a negative situations that you have in that. And I've heard out in the public that you've been really good. You've defused some of the things, and I think that was part of your positive. And a lot of the principals really praise that you really care about the kids, and you're out there to offer assistance, and they really do appreciate you.
Well, Anna, thank you so much.
It's a tough job.
I even wore my truancy shoes for you guys today. No, that was going to be a bad time about that. Thank you. Any other questions?
Just a comment. The handout that we received with our board packet, I went through that. I am amazed at the avenues available that you've created to help kids all through the program. I mean, it's everything. I think every possible avenue of success, achievement is in there. There's a way. So I want you to know I appreciate your hard work, too.
Thank you very much. Every kid needs an advocate, right? And we have tons of them in our district, including all of you. So thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
It's really important, the parenting classes, because that's where it starts. Like you said, Julie, it's at home. If the parents don't have the values that they need to have, try to send the students to school. It's really not a student issue. It's a parenting issue. And I think the more we can get those involved, then that's going to be half the battle. So that's very important. And thank you so much.
Okay, Lenny Tate, I believe, is next. And the DLAC committee.
Bringing my team up, too. In our district, we serve approximately 2,300 English learners of our 9,400 students in our district, so we have quite a population of English learners. Ms. Selena Ramirez has been an amazing chairperson for our DLAC committee and wants to share a little bit about our DLAC. Has been working with us. She was very generous to take on a spot. We had lost one of our chairperson during we lost our chairperson during the middle of the year, and she took it on very bravely. She looks like a very shy young lady here, but she is strong and has lots of opinions in regards to how we can better serve our students. So I'm going to let her speak just a little bit.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Selena Ramirez y yo represento a la Escuela McKinney, y aquí dentro de DLAC soy la presidenta.
I'm the interpreter. My name is Adriana Espinosa. Ms. Ramirez, she shared that she's our chairperson, and she represents McKinney Middle School, and she's very happy to be our chairperson.
Lo que me gusta de estar aquí en estas reuniones a nivel distrito o ya sea a nivel de la escuela es que llevo mucha información para los padres que van a las juntas de mis escuelas.
She's very happy to be a representative for her school because she's able to take the information that she learns in our DLAC meeting and shares it with the parents and shares that important information to the other parents.
Algo de lo que estoy muy contenta de estar aquí es por la respuesta que han tenido los padres en las encuestas que se han hecho por parte de aquí de DLAC sobre qué es lo que necesitamos en las escuelas, y el resultado de eso son los intérpretes que tenemos.
She said that she's very happy with the LCAP survey that we had, because thanks to that LCAP survey, we're able to have interpreters now in the schools, which is very beneficial for the parents to communicate with the teachers and also to be informed what's going on the district-wide.
Este año la respuesta fue un mejor y esperamos ver los resultados el próximo año escolar. Gracias.
Our DLAC, or LCAP survey this year had a very well impact parent participation, so we're just waiting for to see the results for next school year. So thank you very much.
I feel so bad that I didn't introduce Ms. Adriana, who's worked so hard this year. She is her position is as a translator here in our district. Mong Yang is also a translator, and he happens to be our... Is Mong here? I don't think Mong... Oh, Mong, you snuck in. There's Mong on the way back. He didn't sneak up here with us, but Mong is our Mong translator. Adriana is our Spanish translator. And Ms. Ju Tao, who I know you've seen before, she's actually our co-chair for our DLAC committee as well. And a lot of the things that the parents talked about this year, we did talk about the need for the translating and the interpreting, but something that they did mention at one of the meetings was that they would really like to see our newcomers receive some extra support, whether it be at school or in the afternoons. And so what we're working on with our Title III funding is to actually provide some of those services. There will be also tutoring. I think you guys are going to see that in the LCAP coming up as well, but we will definitely set aside Title III to help support our brand new students who have never, their first, it's actually their first time that they've ever been in a United States classroom. So that's one way. Would you happen to have any questions for our DLAC committee? No, I want to make sure you guys know this too. We've worked really hard over the last 3 years to empower our parents. You might have remembered the last few times I've come up here to speak, I've done most of the speaking and they've kind of stood behind and said hi. It was really important to us tonight that Ms. Ramirez be the forefront of speaking with the board, and we hope to do that in the following years as well, give our parents that voice. Any questions for our team? No. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Comments from board members. Mr. Boom?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Rex. I was able to go visit some of the Foothill schools this last week and talk to all three principals up there. And kind of the common theme was, I don't ask questions. I just sit down, talk to them, walk around, visit, maybe visit a few classrooms. But kind of the common theme was their appreciation for the support they've had this year from the district office with all the changes. And that was echoed through all the principals. And so I wanted to thank Dr. Todd, Mr. Carrion, curriculum department, everybody who provided support and help for the schools with all the changes this last year, and it was really appreciated by the principals. And then the other thing, Mr. Kelly, I see you're retiring tonight or in June, and wanted to thank you for all your years of service, and we'll miss you, and thank you very much.
Mr. Rasmussen?
Just wanted to say that I did get the opportunity to go to the Marysville High School Awards night, and it was a very nice presentation. Mr. Cena, you did a great job. And also, Mr. Kelly, thank you for all of your years of service and your friendship that we got to know each other. Thank you.
This is the end of the year when a lot of the schools are doing teacher appreciation. And the one I went to this year was the one at Edgewater, as the Lions Club support Edgewater. And some of the schools in the South, they did a great job. A lot of parents showed up, and it was very nicely prepared luncheon by the school. Also, the Wine and Dine was a great event. That was the day I had to go to CSBA, and I got back just in time to run home and go to the Wine and Dine. And I was really impressed with the work, the effort, the event, the enthusiasm that went on. It was a lot of people in our district that made that happen, and it was really a classy event. And then also I was able to judge with Sarah a talent contest at Arboga, and I was impressed that at the end, going into a holiday, so many parents came out on Friday, sat on the lawn. The talent from the kids were great, but just the parents, there was a lot of parents, being it was a holiday weekend. Also, last Sunday, I was able to judge again the state school bus rodeo and before Memorial Day, and it was really impressive. It was North versus South, Marysville versus Snowline in Southern California. The three drivers, Tana Davis, Ron Phillips, and Michelle Derryberry. The final score was 979 to 900, and there were 28 points difference. And it was one event, and it's amazing. Again, I heard how much our drivers are, how they were respected in the state. And one of the officials came up to me and said, we were the only school board that at some time or the other has had three school board members that they knew of in the state that have judged that contest. I did go to CSBA, which was the same day as the Wine and Dine. And the report, I put your report on the desk. One of it is the thing CSBA has done, what I gleaned from it. The small meeting that we had talked about superintendent's evaluation, which I brought back in my report. Then also I added they've got the budgets for all of the schools in our region, and you can see the 3% balance is 6%. And it's quite interesting to look over it and see the difference, the disparity or the different way different districts do their reserves. And also, Mr. Kelly, it's going to be a loss for our district. You've always been a man of character, integrity. Even when rough times happen, when we shut the adult ed down, you went on to San Diego. You were very positive. You never complained. You really have been a role model for a lot of people in this district, and you're going to be missed. That's the end of my report.
Mr. Harris?
I would like to thank Estrella for her service to us. It's always nice to have a student come up here and talk about what's going on at the schools, and I know it's hard to sit in front of people that you don't know and talk. That's one of the hardest things in the world. And I would like to thank Scott Lane, Cynthia, Amber, and Jerry Eccles for all their help a couple weekends ago at the Wine and Dine. Scott's staff, and all the staff, just worked very hard. And it, you know, anything we wanted, Amber and her staff were there to give it to us. And it was nice not having to haul all the stuff out and clean up. That was the best part of the whole thing for me. And I do want to say that I appreciate it. Thank you. Oh, and also YSDI, because as always, they step up. They loan Don and I a lot of stuff. So also YSDI. Thank you.
Mr. Danable?
You know, I want to thank the opportunity to sit with Estrella. She has done and really set the bar pretty high for our student rep. She gave us some pretty good information from all the high schools, and it's been a pleasure getting those kind of reports. I don't know who these students are, but this weekend I was unable to judge the rodeo because I opted to, as a veteran, dress graves at some of the Foothills cemeteries, and there were some students there who cleaned those veterans' graves off and dressed them with American flags. We have local history amongst us. This three-day weekend was for service members that were killed in action. They exist in a cemetery near you. You can meet these heroes no matter where you are during this three-day weekend. I encourage you to get down and learn about these people. Thank you.
I had the opportunity to visit many elementary schools. Kynock had the Lions Club. They honored them last Wednesday with a Hawaiian-themed pork pool. That's what we ate, pork pool. And it was really good, very impressive. The staff. One thing I really notice about Edgewater, whenever I pop into Edgewater and whether it's a formal visit or just, like I said, popping in, it's just impeccably clean. So please tell your custodial staff, who never gets any recognition, they really do a great job just keeping that place spotless. And it's not just because it's the newest school in our district, because in the same week I went to Kynock for three times, I guess where my granddaughter is, for violin night, which we had music in our schools, and we'll be adding to that. So I got to see a room full of second graders play the violin. Pretty cool. And We had the flag ceremony and the STARS program was honored. I'm sure you're all familiar with STARS. What an incredible program. Not only does it help the working parent, but you put your child in there and they make sure they work on their homework and they get a little PE in there with it. And I'll be honest with you, I was real naive about it until I got on the board and until I started going and picking up my granddaughter and seeing what STAR does. And it's a great program. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Kelly, you're going to be missed. You really are. And from the bottom of the heart, I hope you enjoy retirement. And good luck to you. Thank you.
Estelle, this is your last night as a member of the board. Would you like to say something?
I just want to thank the board members for being here, I guess. I don't really have much to say. I just want to thank everyone for coming and attending the board meetings. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure to have you.
Yes, thank you.
This last few weeks, I've had a chance to go to several scholarship and awards. I'm amazed at the number of groups in the community, whether it's Daughters of the American Revolution or if it's the Lions Club or the Exchange Club, all the different groups that raise money to give scholarships to the kids in the area. And it's not just Marysville High School, it's Lyndhurst, it's across the river. Groups are raising money all year just to give our kids a chance to go to a better place. And the Wine and Dine was part of that too. Did a great job raising over $20,000. Tim, don't worry about us missing you, because now you're going to get to do all the stuff that you did for money. You get to do it for free. I just want you to know that. Okay. You will be missed. Getting back to business, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Okay. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. That's a first. Okay. Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. That brings us to public comments. I have one public comment card. I asked Dr. Todd earlier, I said, should this be a public comment or not? It's from Tim Kelly. You're not a member of the public yet.
You better put the timer on this guy. He gets rolling. He's hard to stop.
Is there a movie? Thank you very much. There's a lot of truth to that, Glenn. I want to just say that when I was sitting in the back, I was realizing that I've worked with most of you over the years, and they're just outstanding employees. And I think one thing that we don't do enough of is praise people. So I want to just talk a little bit about that. I want to just tell you that my favorite poem is by Robert Frost, and the ending says, "And I have miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep." So I still have some days to go, and I hope they're productive as all the other days I hoped were. I'm a husband to my beautiful wife, Carol. I'm a father to 2 children. I'm a grandfather to 3. And I was blessed to be at this district. I was blessed because I was given so much joy to work with these kids. Many, particularly this year and part of last year, that don't have strong family lives. They don't have things to look forward to. Sometimes we're it. So the joy really, I think they gave me more than I gave them. I want to also thank the board for being so supportive of me, helping me throughout the years. I want to also thank Ramiro Carrion. When I told him I was retiring, He had some tears. I'm just going to be upfront with you. It was remarkable to see that. The tears, I haven't figured out yet. They could be tears of, thank gosh, he's leaving finally. But they were heartfelt by him and will always be remembered. Dr. Todd, you have one of the most difficult jobs here. You take criticism. Sometimes, I think, most of the time, it's unfair. If I had a magic wand for this district, or if I had three wishes, or I could get to the Wizard of Oz, well, none of that exists. I would hope that this district would treat you and board members with more dignity and respect. Your job is extremely hard. I remember when the adult ed program closed. It's very difficult. But you made the decision you had to make during those difficult times. And I applauded you for that. So we need in this district to have a little bit more understanding, and we need to work stronger as a team. And so that is my wish for this district. I also will leave you with this. There was once these two stonecutters, and this gentleman walked up to one of them and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, I'm cutting stone. And he went to the second stonecutter and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building a cathedral." Same cuts, but a cathedral has to be precise. I hope all of us can work together with dignity and praise and understanding and begin that cathedral. Thank you.
Okay, superintendent's report.
Well, that's a little tough to follow, Mr. Kelly. Certainly, we've traveled many miles together and appreciate the years of your friendship and your willingness to work with children of all ages, from all backgrounds, and to make a difference in their lives. So thank you for all you've done for our Marysville kids. Okay, wine and dine.
And we know who the boss is sitting next to you.
I didn't even have to say that. I knew it. Wine and dine, what a wonderful experience, what a lot of work, and I have so many people to thank. It's not my event, it's a district event, and people stepped up and did an incredible job of pulling it all together, because I will tell you about the 11th hour and 55 minutes into it, I wasn't sure we were going to pull it off again this year. But because of folks like Sarah O'Brien, who is here, when she found out that we were going to be short a couple of restaurants, she said, "Oh, no problem. I'll just throw a couple of pulled pork roast in. We'll do pulled pork sliders, and I'll make a coleslaw. No problem." Scott Lane, bless your heart. He keeps pulling that rabbit out of the hat. I tell you, whatever needs to be done, he's there to do it with a smile on his face and a little spit and polish added to it as well. So thank you, Scott. Gary Cena, who's here tonight, I don't know what I would do without that cleanup crew who shows up at 10 o'clock at night and suddenly they're ready to do whatever it is that needs to be done to get the trucks loaded up and to get the event over with. This year we had a couple of restaurants back out at the last minute, and if any of you know Donna Cummings, you just have to say, "Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? We just had two restaurants pull out," to which she said, "Oh, don't worry. Glenn and I will cook up some pasta." I keep forgetting with Donna and Glenn that they don't know how to just feed 300 people. They feed the multitudes, and certainly delicious and rave reviews about all of the food, and I will put our folks up against any restaurant any day because their food is the one that people kept going back to. Management team, whatever I asked them, that we needed, whether it be help with a little bit of libation. They were there to bring that. They put together extraordinary baskets again this year that people keep saying, wow, I really have to have this basket because it is amazing. People pulled together pontoon boats and gift certificates for restaurants, and they were so amazing that we had to do them as a live auction. So as much as I thought I was never going to make it through the night, because it's a tough one. It takes a lot of preparation and a lot of people that I haven't mentioned here tonight to pull it off. We did gross $24,580. 100% of those funds will go to fund mini grants for teachers and schools for a whole variety of projects, and certainly it's money put to good use, and many, many hours of people just donating time and products that I can't tell you all about. But we made it again this year, so. Well, I have reports that the warehouse hand truck that's missing went into the lake. Now, I did ask Mr. Lane if he would don his scuba gear. Taking one look at that water, we're not sure we're letting anybody go in there, let alone you, Mr. Lane. So it is missing. We'll find it. It'll turn up, and if not, the foundation will purchase another one for the warehouse, because it's really sad seeing Dan going around with this old rickety one and looking for his good one somewhere. So that's it for the wine and dine. And then lastly, you have the schedule. It is that time of year for promotions and graduations, and Lisa has put another copy there at your seat. And so we'll look forward to shaking those hands of the students who sometimes they're hot, sometimes they're clammy, and sometimes they're just plain cold and wet. So can't wait to congratulate them on successfully completing 13 years of education, at least 13. Some a little more, and not because they repeated grades. They did preschool and some of the other programs. So with that, thank you very much. But before I go away, sorry, Terry Ryland, the woman that's in the seat that we used to have Mr. DiGiulio in before he left us for LA, is here helping us hold down the fort. And we all went to the May Revise meeting that School Services puts on to tell us what the latest news is. And Terry is here to tell you a little bit about a very rosy picture for our district.
Thank you, and it's my pleasure to be back here. Thanks for allowing it. I don't want to go over all of the budget assumptions. We'll do a much more in-depth look at that at the public hearing in a couple of weeks. But I did want to, as I know you've all been reading the paper, you know there's good news out there. I want to tell you how good, and what we're hustling around doing as we adjust the budget at the last minute to reflect a couple of things. So that you should have a handout in front of you. I'm not going to project it. I just want to go over a couple of pages. We don't want a big budget presentation, but I want you to all have the same information. So on page 2 of the handout, this just shows in millions our LCFF, our basic funding, increasing incredibly as we move forward. And for you guys, I think there's some handouts out there. Hopefully there are enough. And so for next year, our base LCFF funding will be $66.3 million. Our supplemental and concentration, the accumulation of the last 3 years of funding that we're tracking and calling supplemental and concentration, is at almost $15 million for a total of $81 million in LCFF money. I mean, those are just not dollars that we've seen here before. I mean, when's the last time we looked at our revenue and saw it start with an 8, huh? That's pretty cool. On slide 3, and basically the two changes and the two things on the next two pages that I'm going to identify in big chunks are due to two major factors. There's a lot of things going on at the state, in the state legislature. I was just reading a little bit tonight. You know, we're going to do this with CTE. We're going to take $20 million out of this. We're going to put $30 million there. Well, those are all the big, you know, state pots of money, and we don't know how all of those are going to settle out. But the two big things that impact us are a huge increase in the gap funding. So what that does is it speeds up our progress toward the eventual target, Okay, so there's kind of an elaborate workbook of Excel spreadsheets that we can input our attendance, our enrollment, our property taxes, and a couple of other assumptions about COLAs and gap funding, and it'll spit out the other end and tell us here's how much additional revenue you're going to get, and here's what your totals are. And when we, at second interim, when you guys saw the numbers, it was based on 32% gap funding for next year. And that number is based on a new amount every year, right? So as we started in 13-14 and we had our target, we had 29% gap funding. That left a new gap. Okay, that smaller gap then is being funded this year at about 29%, leaving a smaller gap. And now they're saying over half of that remaining gap will be funded next year. And so the numbers on page 3, what that tells us, let's look at just the 2015-16 column. So the gap funding, it may revise for both Department of Finance and School Services, is 53.08%. And last year's, during this year at second interim, we were using 32.19%. I mean, you can just see what a huge difference that is. A third of the remaining gap versus over half of the remaining gap. So if I run this calculator with 32% and I run it with the 53% and look at the difference, so I'm isolating just the difference due to the change in gap funding, that's an additional $4.5 million of LCFF funding next year. Now, if I look at what was our LCFF funding at second interim and what are we projected for next year and what are we now projecting it to be, we have to adjust it for some ROP ADA double counting that that we had. The way that our attendance system reports, and I think some of this may have had to do with ROP, there's no specific funding anymore. We're changing the way it gets funded and how it gets reported. And so the ROP students actually were included in the high school ADA and reported separately on the reports, on the state reports that we had. And, of course, we can't count them twice. So we had to go back and recalc this year and reproject for next year. And so net of that change, it's still good news. It's amazing that you can have that and still be able to say there's good news. If you compare where we thought we'd be next year at second interim and where we think we'll be next year now, it's still an increase of $3.4 million over what the board was told in March. And then LCFF, the base annual funds over second interim, is the 1.8. Okay, so that's the ongoing piece, right? So, and remember, and I kind of say this to all the boards, I probably said it here last year, is this isn't new money, right? When we get to 2021, we're supposed to be back to where we were in 07-08, so kind of the back to the future. And so it's really, we're speeding up the funding of our old money and getting us to that target sooner, and then maybe we can go on from there. One of the things that they did talk about at the school services workshop, however, is that right now we've had such huge acceleration last year and projected for next year in our funding because the state is required to fund all those prior deferrals. They owe us, right? And so this funding in 15-16 should take care of that IOU. And so after the next year or so, we're going to be back to getting that 2, 3, 4% overall bump. I mean, remember, we're pretty close to our target, so that kind of makes sense, too. So it'll start looking a lot more like the level of increases that we've had in the past. So we don't want to get too excited. We're not going to be seeing $3 and $4 and $7 million a year increases in funding, but they are still seeing increases. And then also remember, and I know I've said this to you before, we're going to, every 8 or 10 years, there's a dip in the economy, whether we like it or not, right? And, boy, a lot of folks have been talking about, gosh, it might even just be another year or so. We're in, year 6, according to some, and maybe even further into a recovery. And usually those peaks and valleys are about 8 years apart. So it could happen quickly. I stepped outside, and I was talking to the chairman of the board, the former president of school services, Ron Bennett, and he said, yeah, next year. Next year could be a good bet. I mean, enjoy it now. We need to be prudent. We can't, we need to make sure that we are in a good position, which we are, to handle any upcoming storms. And then the other thing that's really going to help us is on page 4, there's a proposal for $600 per ADA. I mean, huge numbers. For one time only, mandated cost money. And the reason that they're calling it mandated cost money, it's completely unrestricted. We can do anything we want with it. We just can't count on getting it the next year. Is because then the governor can take credit for satisfying everybody's old mandated cost claims. So there's still, we still get either $28 or $56 per student in a block grant for mandated costs, but we don't need to go through the effort of doing the tracking and filing. We used to, you know, we used to pay consultants to help us file the claims that would then get paid. Everybody's sharing in this largesse. I mean, whether you had mandated cost claims in the past or not, everybody's getting the $600 per ADA. Fine, whatever, we'll take it, right? It's over $5 million for us. It is one-time money. The recommendation is let's come up. I know we have a ton of one-time needs, things that have been discussed. I think, you know, let's have a couple of meetings and figure out what are those items and let's prioritize them. Is it facilities? Is it deferred maintenance? Is it technology? Is it getting caught up on instructional materials and textbooks with Common Core? Whatever, you know, whatever it is. We can even use part of the additional unanticipated ongoing money to supplement that, right? I mean, you can always use ongoing for one time. You just don't want to do the reverse. So as you see the numbers next, you know, in a couple of weeks, I just didn't want any surprises. Wait a minute, where did all this money come from? We will, those dollars that don't already have a use identified, for instance, the additional funds above what's identified in the LCAP, the one-time monies, we'll set those aside out of fund balance and make sure that they're protected and they're assigned until they are prioritized so that they don't just disappear. We want to have a conscious effort and a prioritization process to make sure that those monies are supporting program as best possible. So we will have the public hearing June 16th, at which point I would, the plan is that you will get a 99% final LCAP product and a 99% final budget product. And if there aren't any changes from the board at that time, then we just turn it around and it'll just be a no biggie, no presentation adoption the following week on the 23rd. But we do have to have that public hearing. And the other thing we have to talk about this year that's new at the board, public hearing on the budget is our level of reserves. So that there was a bill passed that said, hey, the state says you only need 3% in a district this size. You need to tell us why you have larger reserves. Well, we know why we have. I mean, we have a whole list of reasons, and you will see those outlined at the public hearing on the budget. And that all has to do with, right, with the setting aside the rainy day fund and the attempt to limit our reserves, which are frankly local control. And this district has been very transparent but yet prudent in making sure that they are set to weather any future storms. So any questions on any of that? Okay, great. Thank you.
Approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of May 12th. If there's no additions or changes to be made.
Move to approve.
Moved by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Rasmussen? Seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Okay. Unanimous. Consent agenda. We have a request to pull items 1 and 2 and the consent agenda. Oh, excuse me. Educational services 1 and 2. Okay. If there are no other adjustments to be made with the consent agenda, the board will entertain a motion to approve. Mr. Danable, is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. Okay, all those in favor of approval, aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. Moving right ahead. Educational services number 1 and 2. Right, we'll turn this over to the superintendent.
who's going to immediately turn it over to Lenny Tater, Executive Director for Educational Services. This item is the equity of time waiver for transitional and traditional kindergarten instructional minutes requirement.
This is we're opening the public hearing on this, so if the anyone in the audience?
I thought my equity of time was later in the agenda. I thought we were going to do field trips. I thought these were the field trips. Sorry, I wasn't looking correctly. So, do you guys have any questions on the equity length of time waiver? Did it read pretty well? We're asking, we already do serve our transitional kindergartners and our kindergartners at different lengths of day. What we're asking is to standardize that so that our transitional kindergartners would go to school the same length of day our kindergarten students would go to, but our kindergarten students would also be able to, if their teachers deemed it necessary, able to stay for an extended day in their classrooms. And what we need to do with the state board is, in order to offer transitional kinder and kindergartners different minutes during the instructional day, is we have to request a waiver from the State Board of Education. So what I'm asking you is to take a look at, I guess we're having the public hearing, so what I'm asking folks to do is take a look at the waiver, make sure that it's what we want for our students before I take it forward to the State Board for their approval.
How old are the kids that go to the early kindergarten? This is
transitional kindergarten. They're actually, it's interesting, the transitional kindergartners are the exact same age as kindergartners have always been. They just have, what the state did over the last few years is they've pulled that date backwards. So instead of having to be 5 by December 2nd, you now have to be 5 by September 2nd. So those kids between September 2nd and December 2nd are now considered transitional kindergartners, and they have the amazing opportunity to get another year of schooling. So what that means is they have one more year to develop and prepare before they enter into first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, into the rigor and amazing longer day of those grade levels. So
gardeners go on in the first grade if they're ready?
Yes, that's deemed on the teacher and the parents. It's not a requirement. That what we would then do is it's considered an acceleration, similar to going from first grade to third grade. You're actually skipping a grade. So each of the schools, the folks involved, they'd have something similar to a student study team where parents, teachers, site administrators would be involved in making that decision as to whether that student would accelerate and not go to the second year of kindergarten. Or whether they would stay and get the opportunity to go to that second year of kindergarten. Some things have happened over the years as transitional kindergarten has come aboard, in that a lot of folks still feel like, I want my kiddo to go to school with the other kiddos. I want to rush them through. I went to school as a kindergartner, then there was first grade, second grade, third grade. And what's starting to change a little bit is folks are realizing it is actually a support for those students to have the opportunity to do that second year of school. And it's really only for, it's about 25% of the kindergarten population when you think of September to December 2nd. So 25% of our population was given the opportunity to take that second year of schooling. And what we're doing here in the district now is working with our transitional kindergarten teachers to help build up their abilities and their strengths so that they can even better support our younger students. We're working with Kathy Woods and the preschool program, trying to bring together the transitional kindergarten teachers and the preschool teachers to help build up the strength of our transitional kindergarten teachers. I'm gonna go on and on, I should stop. One more thing. The state's actually put forward a grant of money for transitional kindergarten teachers to take ECE units and to receive some reimbursement for that. Right now, our current transitional kindergarten teachers are grandfathered in as transitional kindergarten teachers, but new TK teachers to a TK classroom, there's a requirement that they receive 12 ECE units. So that grant from the state is going to be very helpful. It's not something that the state receives. It's something that the county offices receive, and the teachers actually take their proof of payment to the county office, and the county office reimburses them for the classes that they've taken. Way more than you wanted to hear, Mr. Boom. Any other questions on the waiver?
It looks like we'll be doing this waiver every year if it's approved.
I think, and in looking at, this is really the first time I've ever gone through the waiver process, so it was very interesting to learn what has to happen. What happens with this particular waiver is, what I'll bring it back to you is for
renewal, not necessarily to take it to the state board. So I'll take it back. I'll bring it back to you very similarly, asking for you to give me permission to take it to the state board for a renewal. So when it goes to the state board, the waiver is not going to just say a submission. It will say a renewal.
Okay. If there are no further questions, I need a motion to close the motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second? Okay. Mr. Fleury seconds the motion. Okay. All those in favor of closing the hearing?
Aye.
Okay. That brings us to we need a motion to approve submitting the waiver request. Moved by Mr. Harris, seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Nays? None. Brings us to purchasing department. Resolution 2014-1531, Microsoft products.
Okay, so Microsoft has come out with a new agreement for public school districts in California to actually take advantage of some of their products, in particular their operating systems and their office products, in a way that we've never been able to do so before. There's actually two things that are going to be in front of you. I'll talk about the one that's in front of you first. Particular school district went out and competitively bid the ability to purchase Microsoft products. Microsoft actually has agreed to it for the first time. We're looking to piggyback off of that. It will give us the ability to, for the very first time, make sure that our operating systems across the board for all of our computers are standardized on, in this particular case, we're going to go to Windows 7, get rid of some of the old 2000 machines we still have. We still have XP machines. We've got a variety of things out there. This gives us the ability to actually all at once bring us back up to speed. And over the next 3 years, as we get to what we're expecting, maybe a Windows 10 migration, the ability to migrate everything at once. We've never had that opportunity before. We get the same ability to do that with our Microsoft Office products, which we've never had before. And this particular agreement will allow us to actually hand it out to our students so that they can take it home without having to purchase it. That's a huge saving for our kids. And so we can actually give them either a downloadable a code to download it off the internet, or we can hand them a disk if we want to and say, here, take this home and put it on the computer that you've got at home. It's a great thing for our students that we've never been able to do before, and this is just something in the last year or so that Microsoft's finally decided to do for school districts in California. So there's two parts to this. This one here is the ability to piggyback off of the contract that was competitively bid so that we can purchase the Microsoft products for the next 3 years. And then after that one, I can kind of explain to you the next one, why we have to have both.
How much in dollars do we put up here? Or do we have any idea? We're just piggybacking, but we have a general
we
idea.
It used to be that we'd have to do it by computer. So we'd have 4,000 computers, and if we wanted to do licenses, it would be somewhere between $50 and $100 a pop to do them, and it would be a one-time thing. This one here, for around $26,000 a year, and a little bit more than that, it's going to come out to about $84,000, $85,000 total for a three-year period to do all of the operating systems and all of the Microsoft Office and be able to hand it out to our 9,000 students. It's a lot of money, but it's actually quite a bit big savings compared to what we would have had to do if we were trying to actually accomplish that just on the old agreements and the way we would have done it before.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Okay, this is resolution 2014-1531, Microsoft products. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. And number two, I think you pretty much explained that one already.
It's real similar. Microsoft says you still have to agree to our licensing agreements to purchase it through the piggyback clause. So this is just our agreement with Microsoft directly, even though no money will be going directly to Microsoft. It's say you will adhere to our licensing agreements and what everything that pertains.
That licensing agreement is like that 100-page thing at the end that you click on. Okay.
It's some very, very interesting reading if you'd like to see it. So.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. For the agreement with Microsoft Volume Licensing Enrollment for Education Solutions. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, unanimous. And
thank
that
you.
Brings us to Facilities and Energy Management Department, number one, Resolution 2014-1532.
Hi, good evening. It's good to be here. My first item before you this evening is to request that the board approve and certify Resolution number 2014-1532, certifying that we don't have any relocatable buildings being used as classroom buildings.
Have we ever, we were discussing this earlier, have we ever had any of these?
We have, and luckily they've been disposed of in years prior.
Okay. I think that about covers it. Okay. Is there a motion on the floor? Mr. Boom moves to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Nays? Okay. Jim, you there? Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Number two, bid award for Foothill School wastewater system.
Okay. The I have a little bit of a cold. Excuse me. This board item is to request that you approve the contracts for the low bid based on the competitive bidding process for the Foothill wastewater system. Our low bid is Eshman Construction at $276,610.53.
Okay.
I have some questions. Have we gone away from using lease-back and we're now doing all of our projects by bid? And the reason I ask, I don't think this didn't have to run through DSA. It was a count. It only runs through the county, correct?
That is correct.
And when we've had these type of disparities in the past, we run into a lot of change orders and a lot of problems because everything hasn't been thoroughly looked at through the architects and facilities department and all the departments getting together. And it, in the past, I've seen huge problems with this. So I just don't want to see us revert back and get into those types of issues where we're having change orders at 20 and 30% of the project.
What I can say to speak to that is we did, since we received your go-ahead, I believe it was when I first got here in early January, where the board decided this was, in fact, a priority project. And so from that point forward, like Kovalad as well, we scoped it as thoroughly as possible and as quickly as possible. Eshman is a local company who is very familiar with installing these. And we also had Pam, who's here with us this evening from the engineering office, Von Geldren, along with Williams Plus Patton in terms of putting together this middle package for proper bidding. And so it's really a group effort. We had our plumbers, other maintenance staff look as well. So we really did vet this and scope it as thoroughly as we possibly could.
So it was a little bit more to help fast track it along instead of running it through a lease back, or I mean, you're probably the wrong person. I mean, this is something that we need to be asking Ryan. Ryan's not here. He's in Southern California. So
Ryan did, from what I understand, when I first got here, he had sort of put some parameters for me, and he said a million or more we would go lease back, $999 or less, $215,000 would be a little bit. So I worked and moved this forward in that fashion.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was looking through the contract and I kind of gave up after the 51st article in there. It's just,
yeah.
Anyway. So that brings us, if there's no other questions, is there a motion? Okay, Mr. Danimal moves to accept the I guess I should be on the right page. The bid award for Foothill School wastewater system. It's been moved by Mr. Danimal. Is there a second? Mr. Rasmussen? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Nays? None. Personnel Services, number one, agreement with AMACE.
Yes, thank you and good evening. The purpose of this particular agenda item is to provide a level of parity for the Association Management Confidential Group, consistent with all other bargaining groups, to get the same level percentage increase to their represented salary schedules. And so we recommend the board approve that by increasing the AMA salary schedules an additional 1% commencing on July 1, 2015.
Any discussion? Is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Harris. Okay. Is there a second? Mr. Crawford? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? No. None. Item two, Personnel Services. Tentative agreement with CSEA 326.
Yes, in similar fashion, this completes our represented groups in that a tentative agreement was forged to provide an additional 1% commencing July 1, 2015 for salary ranges represented by CSCA chapter. And so we recommend that the board approve this tentative agreement in order to again provide parity for the same percentage increase for all bargaining groups. And this will be our last one for the current school year. Recommend the board approve the tentative agreement.
Okay, if any discussion?
I'd like to recuse myself from item number two.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Mr. Boone moves to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Danimal. All those in favor? Okay. Six yes, one abstention. And that brings us to the end of the meeting. Estelle, do not forget your placard there. It's yours. You've earned it.